Hey guys, this is Mo Sider from the Detroit Red Wings. You guys listening to Locked On Red Wings.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. Today is Tuesday, 4/20/2021. Light up your what do they call them these days, Scott? Bleasers and
yeah, that's what they call
the the things kids. Like that. The blunts.
That's what the kids are calling them, the Bleasers. Well, I hear kids saying that all the time.
We're in a celebration mood today because the Detroit Red Wings, for the first time in what feels like 5 years, are not the worst team in their division. With a shootout loss to the Dallas Stars on Monday night, they drew even with Columbus for last place in the division, but got bumped up just a little bit by their regulation wins. So Columbus currently in the driver's seat of last place in the Central. I don't think anybody saw that coming, especially not us, but boy, does it feel good to not be sitting at the, they're still in the cellar, but like there's like a thin layer of plastic, like, yes. You know, like
we can see each other.
Yeah. It's practically mesh that divides the Red Wings and Blue Jackets in the bottom of the tank. But nonetheless, we are going to talk about that. We're going to give you an update. Bob McKenzie dropped his most recent draft rankings. And we're going to talk about whether people still like the shootout or not anymore. So it's all coming up next on a Tuesday edition of Locked On Red Wings. I am Detroit sports editor Nolan Bianchi. With me today, as always, my good friend, host of the Bentley Show, Detroit Sports Encyclopedia, and co-host here at the Locked On Red Wings podcast. It is Scotty Bentley. What's going on, Scotty?
Oh, you know, just I'm really feeling myself after knowing that the Red Wings are no longer in the cellar. And like you said, it literally feels like it's been like 3 years. So that's nice.
It was a great night for like to bring out the at least we got a point thing, because like the at least we got a point actually mattered. In this sense. And I mean, the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, it might hurt the Red Wings if you're somebody who thinks that it's going to have any bearing on whether they win the draft lottery, because let's face it, no matter where they end up falling in that order, they're probably not going to jump up at all. Right. So
like, how can you even care that much about the lottery at this point as a Detroit sports fan? Like, for real,
I agree.
The two sports that have it, right? The Red Wings have gotten absolutely – there was that stat after the lottery came out this past summer about, like, the most dropped picks in the entire NHL, or sort of the third most, or so, like, one of the – some of the worst luck in the entire NHL. And the Pistons, in the entire history of the NBA, have not one time ever moved up in the lottery. Like, at this point, how can any Detroit sports fan be like, oh, we got to keep losing and play for the lottery, like, stop it. Like, it doesn't. It has never helped us. It never will. Let's just enjoy not being in last place.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I feel the exact same way about the Lions and their, like, losses at the end of the year, where everybody's like, oh, great, now they're going to be picking 11th instead of 8th. And I'm like, right. let's be real. Like, if you – I always say, because, like, that me versus – fans who get mad about winning and make other fans feel bad because they're happy about winning is like maybe the greatest rivalry in sports in my mind. Nobody else knows about it, so it can't be that much of a rivalry, but it's a very personal vendetta for me. And like the because they'll be like, you're an idiot if you think this team should have won today, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, if you think that after 60 years, three spots in the draft order are going to impact any sort of long-term outcome for the Lions, you're the idiot. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
It's really ridiculous that people think, especially in a sport like football, that moving back three picks or two picks or whatever in a year is like completely like, oh my gosh, we're never going to win again. Like good teams overcome that with ease. Like, I hate to break it to you like that.
So let me stop you right there, because I think there's a difference between falling from first to fourth and falling from 8th to 11th.
For sure.
And like, and because we've been low key complaining about that as Red Wings fans for the past couple of years, falling from like 6th to 9th or 6th to 8th or 9th or whatever it was.
Sure.
Or, you know, has been in years past 3 to 6, 4 to 6, whatever. But I think it matters at the very top. But when the team's like has five wins and then they grab a sixth win, it's like, shut up. They weren't bad to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Right.
And that is what it is at this point. Like, unless there's like a top two quarterback or something like that. You know, it is what it is. But we got hockey to talk about. We've gone on about this too much. Luke Glendening, man. Thank goodness the Red Wings did not get rid of him at the trade deadline. He has a 2-goal night. Looked like, you know, he had the second one early enough that like he was firmly on hat trick watch. Unfortunately, it didn't come to fruition, but a good game for him, a good game for that fourth line. Again, they just continue to roll, despite the fact that it seems like they were kind of being mismatched and played all over the place tonight. But still, again, that Glendening line has just been absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, man, it's definitely one of those things where for a little bit, I was kind of the last few days, I was kind of like, OK, like, I guess maybe I'm starting to understand why he didn't garner a ton of interest at the deadline. Like, I was kind of confused on deadline, just the team, and then a nice little game today. And it's kind of like, all right, you know, maybe you should have gotten more than like one call or whatever Steve said. But yeah, definitely a nice little night for the kid.
And this is a good, like, regard. This game wasn't like the most exciting game in the whole world, but it was still like a good game for the Red Wings to play, because they were going against a team who was very, very desperate. This was essentially the first game of a 4-game series against a team who's very, very desperate, who just went to the Stanley Cup final, who plays a very like grinded out type of hockey game. And the Red Wings, for the most part, went toe to toe with them. They just, of course, did not have the same offensive firepower that Dallas had, and so they weren't creating chances at the same rate. But I thought they did a very good job of matching them defensively.
Yeah, I agree. I think for the most part, the 5-on-5 play was pretty solid, I thought. I mean, it was like you said, it was a fine game. We weren't unbelievably outmatched. It definitely wasn't vice versa either. I mean, they definitely I would say they outplayed us, but it didn't feel so many times over the last 2 years, we have played games and like halfway through the second, you're just like, this is just not even close. Like that was definitely not tonight. Like this was a pretty well-played game, pretty evenly squared up against them. They outplayed us and probably deserved the win, but I thought it was a pretty well, fine played game.
Dylan Larkin had a really nice shootout goal tonight. Thomas Greiss as well. We should give him some love. We have not been the kindest person to Thomas Greiss, but I personally have come on here a couple of times and not necessarily apologized because what he did can't be taken back. So what I said won't be taken back either, but he has turned his game around quite a bit. And tonight was another demonstration of that.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, not only was he good in regulation, but had a couple of nice stops in overtime. Yeah, man. I mean, anytime you can go out there for 65 and only give up two, I mean, that's a nice day at the office. I thought he was pretty fine in the shootout too. I mean, that was, I think, more so us not being able to score in a shootout than it was. I mean, it went into five rounds, right? It went five deep. So like, yeah, he was very fine between the pipes. We kind of talked about his stats before we got on air here, like the goals expected against and stuff. He was expected to give up three and only gave up two. So, you know, that's a fine day at the office. Props to Thomas
on 36 shots on net too. So, mm-hmm. Good for him. All right. We are going to roll into segment two here at the Locked On Red Wings podcast. But first, I got to talk to the folks today about rockauto.com. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. With the ever increasing number of makes and models out there, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why would you endure the pointless or often seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counter man orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brands that his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores, they got price tiers for different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. You're somebody who likes to get under the hood. You're somebody who likes to get their hands dirty. And most importantly, you're somebody who likes to save a little bit of money. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. They've got amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts that your car will ever need. This episode is also brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is a collection of exclusive 10 creative styles and diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds sourced from Botswana, 10 female designers, design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 1010. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight you. And it's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. Nothing says I love you like finding a good deal. That's not in the ad copy, but that's just the truth. If you're on the hunt for this perfect, unique ring that she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. And they won't be around long, so find them now by searching the words 1010 only at BlueNile.com.
Fedorov gives him the business.
And what do you know, Scotty? We were just talking about the Lions, and the Locked On Podcast Network is covering the NFL draft from all angles. Catch up on the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Odyssey. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast for the latest draft news. And stay tuned for more info about our live NFL coverage. All right, segment two here at the Locked On Red Wings podcast. I just wanted to address something real quick that I saw on Twitter, because a lot of people were very, very upset that Joe Valeno was not in the lineup tonight, despite the fact that the Red Wings tweeted out a graphic saying he was on the taxi squad the other day. Oh my God. Like I just saw like all the usual things. Sometimes things that I say, I'm like, oh, this guy's in the lineup, but that guy's not, you know, like those types of things. But for those of you who do not know, the thing with Joe Valeno is that, he's just coming. We covered it yesterday on the show, but I feel like we should go over it again just so people understand the situation fully. He's coming off of a concussion. He hasn't played hockey in a couple weeks, and he just finished quarantining for 7 days. The absolute worst possible thing that I can imagine for him is for him to come out of quarantine and the next day send him back on the ice against the Dallas Stars. First NHL hockey
game. NHL debut. Yeah. That's a good little transition from all those things happening. And I just being like, all right, kid, you know, go get him.
Like I said this on Twitter, like I love the mob mentality as much as the next guy. Like I'm all about it. That's why very I like pro WWE. Mob mentality very pro mob mentality. Very. That's why I like going to Monday Night Raw. You know, just things like that. Like anything that I can just act like a fool for really no reason, like that's kind of my bag. So I typically am somebody who likes to jump on those things, but there was a reason for this, not to mention I believe he still is like eligible to have his ELC push forward a year if he only plays 7 games, and if that's the case, then he wasn't going to play all 10 games remaining anyways. So what is the rush to get him back in? Why wouldn't you rather like get him in with consistency towards the end of the year instead of being like, well, can you play? We got a back-to-back. You ready? You know, like not going to play. I don't think during this series in Dallas, just as he kind of gets his legs, practices and things like that. So I don't know. He could be playing on Thursday night when they come back from Dallas, but who knows? That is where the situation stands right now.
Yeah. I think the biggest one to me is just the fact that, you know, contractually, right? Like, 7 games is what we're shooting for, and there's more than 7 games left. So let's not get mad until the amount of games left is less than the amount of games that he's going to play, which is 7. Like, that's when it's okay to get a little more upset. I think for now, we just, you know, he's going to sit out and not play every game the rest of the season anyway. Like, chill out.
What do you think about the shootout? I saw some people criticizing it. I see it every single time that the shootout comes on, but it seemed like more prevalent tonight. And I actually saw our friend Pete, not the recurring guest Pete, but another Pete. I think his name is MV Pete on Twitter. He was like, am I the only one who still likes the shootout? And I was like, you know what, Pete? I like the shootout. Like, I was just like, I don't hate it as much as everybody else does. And especially when the Red Wings are in a non-contending position and like these wins and losses aren't killing you. Like, who cares? I like the shootout. It's better. I would rather lose in the shootout than get beat on a 2-on-1 in overtime, like usually happens with the Red Wings if they lose.
I think that this is a problem that baseball is also like trying to kind of deal with somewhat. Like, you can't afford in the regular season of a grueling hockey season to go like into fourth overtime and then like expect to like play the next day or something. You know what I mean? Like, you can't in the playoffs, obviously you play until sudden death kind of thing, but you can't, I don't know. Personally, I'm fine with the shootout. I have not, you know, whatever, it's chill by me. I think it's relatively enjoyable to watch. And I think that, once you get into overtime, you're getting a point either way. Like, it's not a huge deal as long as it's not in the postseason ever. Like, I'm kind of fine with it. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think I don't ever think like it, I'm not definitely not in favor of a multiple overtime. I think what a lot of people argue with is that they should just like extend the 3-on-3 overtime a little bit. Cause like by the law of, or I don't know, is law of averages the right way to just by nature of the 3-on-3 overtime, like you'll probably get a victor, but like you can't expect those guys to go out and play 3-on-3 for 10 minutes. Right. And then, so I think the other option to the shootout would probably be just a tie, but who likes ties? Like, who wants a tie after, especially like, again, the Red Wings aren't necessarily in this situation a lot because they stink. But if it's like a big rivalry game, like, you don't want the taste in your mouth. I would rather have the taste in my mouth of losing in a shootout than the tie. I think
ties are stupid and should not exist. I'm so, it's my biggest problem with the NFL. I think it is beyond stupid that ties exist in some professional.
We have the technology.
It's unbelievably stupid. So like, I love the NHL, I think, with the advantage of having a point system, has the ability to give the loser in an overtime like shootout kind of situation still get a point. You can have a tie without having a tie. Like, I think it's set up perfectly. I think it's the best kind of overtime situation in the four main sports. As long as it never trickles into the playoffs, I don't really care about the shootout. Like, it's fine.
I will also say this. It, like, when you win, it doesn't take anything away from the win, but when you lose, it presents a built-in spin zone.
Exactly. Exactly.
So like, why would you ever, right. Just be like, well, we lost in the skills competition is what happened. You know, I've been using that voice a lot today. I think I have an axe to grind with somebody.
Point, man. Still got a point. Like, it's fine. I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal, especially if you're still keeping if you lose in overtime, you still get a point. Like, if you're keeping that anyway and getting rid of the shootout, makes even less sense to me. Like, you're gonna get a point for losing anyway, man. Like, it's not, I don't know, again, as long as it stays out of the playoffs, I'm totally fine with it. I don't really have a strong opinion against it.
100%. We should also give some stick tap, some love to our guy, Michael Rasmussen. Are we a Michael Rasmussen podcast? I know Ethan's not
slowly approaching that when Ethan's not on air.
Yeah, but Ethan doesn't like it. I don't think Ethan likes the Red Wings or hockey.
Here's my thing. I think Ethan loves the Detroit Red Wings team, but I don't think he likes a single player on the team he loves. I think that's it. You know what I mean? I'm not sure he likes a single person on this team. Truly.
It's like when you have kid, or I'm completely making up a situation. It's like when you have kids and it's like, you know, the good ones like grow up and move out, and then all you're left with is like a couple shitheads, you know, and then it's like,
of course,
it's everyone like, goes through that. Hey, this person's not a bad parent. Look at their kids, you know, and it's like, but, and then also look at the first kid who's gone, and he's probably bitter that the first kid's gone off achieving great things or something like that. I don't know if that was a good metaphor.
We're riding with it at this point. I just think it's like he, yeah, man. Like he likes the team, but literally on the entire roster, I'm not sure he likes a single person.
Maybe Dylan Larkin, but like
it's a questionable one for sure.
I don't know. That'll be we should bring that up someday too. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, the Red Wings are still only one game away from matching their win total of last year. I just think like this season as a whole has gone so much better, and it just feels so much better. And like it really is minimizing the suck. Anyways, kicking back to Rasmussen, he got another shout out from the NBC broadcast tonight. I thought that was only a Mick and Ken thing. Like maybe they just watched a couple of Bally Sports Detroit podcast or episodes. Not episodes. What do you call them? Broadcasts. And like just like picked up on things that they were talking about, and then just started to make them a part of their broadcast. But they also gave a shout out to Michael Rasmussen and talked about his speed and his skating ability, and for good reason too. Like he genuinely looked really, really good again out there tonight. One thing that I find is like when he's playing at his best is when he's like playing along the boards, and all of a sudden he just gets that big burst of speed, and he can kind of like get back below the goal line and create offense that way. I just think he deserves a shout out because I can't remember how recently I've shouted him out, because every day is Groundhog's Day at this podcast. Yeah. And then the last thing, before we move into Bob McKenzie's rankings, was
Blash.
Speaking of Joe Micheletti, another thing that he said during the game was that Yzerman and Blashill are having good conversations about a new contract. How do you feel about it?
Nightmare fuel, just straight up nightmare fuel. Yeah, that's how I feel about it. How do you feel about it, Jeff Blashill? I feel horrible about it, and I'm going to paint my walls with vomit. It's really not exciting at all. So, yeah, that in short, to put it lightly, that's how I feel about it.
I actually didn't hear this part on the broadcast, Greg Cooper, who's actually with the Detroit News, he said stuff like that is not reported on national game broadcasts about Yzerman's teams, unless it's true. What's interesting about this, and we'll probably dive into this at a later date and maybe like do like an actual like introspective and assessment of different things. But I thought that at his press conference on trade deadline day, when he was asked about Jeff Blashill, was the most non-committal he's ever been about Jeff.
Yeah.
And
that whole presser, honestly, like not segue away from your point at all, because you're absolutely right. But that whole presser, he was just matrixing his way out of every single question that was thrown his way.
I fundamentally disagree with people who say that. Like there are answers. Presser,
bro, the only one that he gave a straight answer to was, hey, were you trying to move anybody else? That one he was very straight, like very straight, alarmingly, noticeably straightforward on. Every other question that he was asked in that presser, I felt like he was dodging and weaving.
I would say in general, people just throw this assumption on to him. And like, I think the mainstream media won't tell you.
Wow.
No, it's just one of those things though, where like he does drop hints. You just need to read between the lines. And I thought that like what he said about Jeff Blash, I wish I had the quote in front of me. But I remember on trade deadline day, he's like, somebody was asked about it, and he didn't say we really like the job he's doing. He didn't say, you know, blah, blah, blah. He just said that's something we'll discuss at the end of the year. And so I thought that that was kind of something to keep an eye on. And then with this, I just don't know where I'm at anymore.
Yeah, man. So we kind of talked about it. I don't know when, probably a week or so ago. That's a total guess though. We kind of talked about how, actually, honestly, it might've been the Ethan and I episode. We talked about it. And how he, you know what, maybe he's just going to be the guy that just is a placeholder until we find the actual guy. And like, if we're not planning on being super competitive again next year, he might just be the placeholder to just
that is so kind of
take all the crap until we're ready to find it.
I truly cannot wrap my head around that. Wouldn't you rather have, like, I don't think that's what Eiserman's thinking. I would have such a hard time believing that. Why would you rather have a bad coach in the most crucial years of your rebuild than a good coach? And so, like, this is not me saying that Jeff Blashill is either one. I've actually kind of started to take his side a little bit more and more lately with this specific thing. But I just think that, like, there is no, it doesn't make any sense anywhere. Like, what? Okay, the Tigers. Would you rather have AJ Hinch coaching the Tigers, or would you rather have Rod Garden hire?
No, absolutely
Hinch. And if you had the option,
I think. Well, the thing is, so here's the AJ Hinch was literally not. Hold on. That's not what I'm saying. If the guy that Eiserman wants is available 12 months from now, let's say he's an assistant for somebody maybe he's got 1 year on his deal somewhere else, or he's down in the A and he's ahead. If that guy has, like, if he's got his eye on someone, there's 1 year left and he's like, that's the guy, I know that's the guy, but I can't get him right now. What else do you do? Because that's what happened with Ron. I'm not saying the Tigers 3 years ago were like, oh, we're getting Hinch. Like, I'm not saying that was a thing. But Ron was literally just here until we found the actual person. If, and I'm not saying he does, this is pure just a hypothetical for you to answer. That's all. If Eiserman is like, hey, man, like, some dude down in the Kings AHL affiliate is the guy I want. He has 1 year left on his deal. So we'll get him then. So we're just going to sign Blash to a 1 year and he's just going to take some more crap until that guy's available.
Why would you want to do that if you were Blashill? A young, hot, up and coming coach in your first NHL job might never get another NHL job again if you just continue to sit here and lose.
Yeah, but I think that ship has sailed, bro. He's been so bad. I think that ship has sailed. I don't think him backing out this year instead of next year is going to save him from his future. I think that ship has long sailed.
I just think in principle, I'm against the whole babysitter coach thing. And also, like, Jeff Blashill is not the guy to babysit. It's his first NHL job. Yeah, sure. He's been here for a while, but, like, I don't know that, like, that whole thing doesn't add up to me. I think he's either out or he's in. Like, this was a year that Eiserman was going to assess it. Like, I don't see any point, and I especially don't see Steve Eiserman making the decision to just sit on a bad coach if he thinks he's a bad coach. And I'm not saying he's one or the other, because let's be real, like, there's a lot of reasons that we don't know. And this team has taken a step forward next year, whether people want to recognize that or not. But like I said, at the end of the day, I don't see Steve Eiserman being somebody to be like, well, you know, what else are we going to do right now? It's just just a giant bummer. Like, coaches were available this offseason. Coaches will be available this offseason. And I see absolutely zero reason to sit on your hands and let this guy continue to run your bench if you think he's a subpar hockey coach and not a part of the future.
I'm with you. I was more just playing devil's advocate. I am very anti.
Well, you got me all fired up.
Well, I'm glad. That's good. That's good. Hashtag content. But, like, I'm really with you. I don't know. I think it's a super interesting conversation. I personally think that coaching means way too much to development. to just be like, oh, well, we're just going to keep waiting. You know what I mean? Like, that's been my biggest problem with like all four of these teams' rebuilds, like has been like just being waiting and being too patient, just being like, oh, we'll see. Like, so I am totally with you, but it is the other side of the coin is definitely a conversation for sure.
All right. Well, what I will say is that I wouldn't necessarily bet on Jeff Blashill not being the head coach of the Red Wings next year. But if I were to bet on that, I'd go to Bet Online because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action, folks. Football might be over, college basketball might be over, but the NHL and the NBA are just getting started. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Scott, I know you're a big Bachelor guy. You got any bets on deck for the Bachelor? When does that come out?
Man, this summer. I think the end of the summer. I'm pretty sure, like mid late summer. Yeah, man. I'll definitely. BetOnline AG definitely going to get a lot of my bets on some Bachelor bets for sure.
Once all the boys get vaccinated, we can have watch parties for the Bachelor live on Locker Room.
Oh yeah, if you think my Locked On Now post games are electric, you ain't seen nothing until you've seen the Bachelor post reviews.
BetOnline even has you covered for the news, scores, and odds. Just head over to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use our promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On for 50% off your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Zetterberg got it to Datsyuk. Moving right in.
Oh, my God.
Pavel Datsyuk with 5 seconds left. 2-1. Woo-hoo.
Today through the 26th, listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. Featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irving. Heyo, we're big time now. Woo. Jason Leckenfora and Brian Baldinger, our local experts for every team, making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Odyssey is your home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY, Odyssey. All right, Scotty, segment three here at the Lockdown Runnings podcast. We went kind of long in that second segment, so we will be quick with this. But Bob McKenzie dropped his latest 2021 draft rankings today. And I thought it was worth checking out because through all of the smoke screen, or I don't know if it's smoke screens, but you know, the scouts and the people that we've talked to on this podcast, the things that I've read, it sounded like Owen Power was really slipping down a lot of boards. And it sounded like Owen Power probably not going to go number one. Bob McKenzie seems to think that that is not the case. He said he's talked to 10 NHL scouts, did a nice little survey, and they were Owen Power was the unanimous number one player on all of their lists. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I think, you know, we've kind of talked about this, that we had that great interview with Ferrari, which definitely you should go listen to if you haven't already. He's an awesome guy and it's awesome to pick his brain. And he kind of talked about how there's really no clear number one this year, especially in the last several years of hockey, we've kind of had that. This year we didn't really. So it's interesting to hear that someone with maybe people are just more nitpicky with Power specifically because he's the guy that's kind of presumed to go number one right now. But like with the amount of flaws that are starting to be made more well known, it's interesting to me that he's now in a draft with no quote unquote clear number one, is a unanimous number one with a third of the executives being asked. That's interesting.
I almost feel bad for him a little bit because like a guy like this, like you look at Tyler Myers, who has gotten like a lot of shit for his play in Vancouver this year because he's mm-hmm. big and a lot like Mantha. When big players aren't good at hockey, they look especially bad and oafy and just not good. And like, if this kid goes to Buffalo, there will be issues with his development. And I already worry about him because of like the chatter around this year that people are going to like start dunking on his failure if it does if that does end up kind of coming up.
Yeah, for sure. And from a team, especially with the Red Wings position, it's super interesting now being that, hey, there might be a clear 1-1 guy kind of forming. Do you want the Wings to win the lottery? Like, I know that sounds stupid. Like, obviously, you know, it would be sweet to, but like, I don't know. Like, maybe value wise, maybe it's more beneficial for us to pick in that like three. I don't know. I almost feel like this is sacrilegious given how much like bad luck we've had, but it almost might be less. Like you said, it puts more pressure on him as a player, obviously, because people are going to look back in this draft and be like, oh, like he was the seventh best player or whatever out of the draft. That's maybe a little aggressive, but you know what I mean? It's same thing with the teams. Like if you're sitting at 1-1 and now you're looking like, oh, on draft night, there wasn't a clear 1-1. And now we're looking back 3-4 years from now when he was the fourth best dude in the draft. You know, I don't know. It's interesting.
A couple other interesting things out here. Matt Beniers, the other Michigan product, comes in at number 4. And then Kent Johnson, his winger at Michigan, comes in at number 8. They have Kent Johnson listed as a center, but when I saw him, whenever I saw him play this year, he was with, he was playing on the wing with Beniers. Dylan Gunther and Simon Evanson, they are tied for 2nd, based on the scouts survey. Luke Hughes comes in at number 5. I think honestly, like he's a guy that Red Wings fans should probably talk about a little bit more. He is coming off a pretty severe injury. But the Red Wings are likely to be picking in that range of like 5 to 7 or 8 or whatever you want to predict it to be right now. And he is very much in play for the Red Wings. I know a lot of people have been like paying attention to the top, but he's a name that like throughout all the moving and shaking, the ups and the downs you see with a lot of guys, like he has always been firmly like in the top 5, maybe as low as 8 or 9. I think actually Dauber had him pretty low if I remember correctly, but I might also be misremembering that. He might have been like 4. But Luke Hughes is a guy that I would like to take a deep dive on at a very near point in the future. And then Jesper Wallstedt, we should check in on him. He's coming in at number 10.
Jesper, baby.
So
you let's know, eat. Let's eat.
Maybe just keeps falling in the Red Wings. You get him with their second pick of the first round.
Let's take a goalie.
An interesting thing about this too is that Autu Ratu, who was kind of the number one pick, projected number one pick, like towards the end of last year, he has fallen all the way down to number 20. Where the Red Wings could be like right picking right in that range. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on that front. Fabian Lysell, who Tony likes a lot. I know we've had conversations about him. He comes in at number 12, Cole Sillinger, 13th, Carson Lambos, 15th, Zachary Bolduc. If the Red Wings are looking to grab a center with that pick, he's another option alongside Ratu, depending on if he falls or not. But yeah, just interesting to kind of see like Bob McKenzie. I saw Prashant Thayer put out a graphic on Twitter today. It was like Bob McKenzie's track record of these things. And like, the dude doesn't miss. So saying take this as gospel, but I mean, this is probably a pretty accurate reflection of how a lot of NHL scouts have their rankings.
Yeah, clearly. And again, especially with how many connections he and they have over there, and the amount of interviews that he's pulled and how much he uses all that in there. Obviously, there's a lot of quotes from it in the article, quotes from executives and scouts and stuff. So, yeah, definitely a really well done. And from the Wings perspective, man, give me a Michigan boy or Wallstedt. That's where we sit.
Or a Swede. Or Luke Hughes. I mean, like that literally all of them.
There is a lot.
It's either a Swede, Luke Hughes, who is playing in the NTDP from Michigan, or one of the Michigan Wolverines kids. Mm-hmm. That's like 9 out of 10. I'm pretty sure in the top 10, something like that.
Give me one of those. They're going to take the one that doesn't fit any of those criteria. Yeah,
probably. just to spite the Lockdown Red Wings podcast. All right, man. This is a lot of fun. Appreciate what am I wrapping up a fucking interview? Jesus Christ.
Appreciate my co-host being here. I'm here every day.
I don't know. It's been a long night. All right. Well, I think that's all we got for you guys today. Follow us on Twitter at @LO_Red Wings. Follow Scotty at Bentley Scotty, me at Nolan Bianchi, and of course, subscribe. It's the only way to make sure that each and every morning when you wake up, we will be ready. Our episode will be ready waiting for you for your morning commute. So we'll see you back here tomorrow. We're probably going to recap the Stars game and then, much like today, do a little bit of more of big picture type things. So we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. It's your team every day.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.